Episode 25. Who's your buddy? Who's your buddy when tempers start flying and shoes start hitting the fan? Still thinking? Well, it's your self-control, of course, and there is nothing, and I mean nothing better than self-control excellence. How do you do it? Well, come on along, and I'll share with you my tips for garnering your self-control. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We are sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos successfully and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Wincoller. Welcome to the show. The term self-control can feel so clinical, so sterile, that we almost want to walk away from it before we even give it a chance. And yet, when we embrace it, wow, we could just move mountains. And I mean mountains, because the biggest mountain that often is facing us is our own self. We get in our own way, especially when there's a conflict. So how do we harness that, and how we go about to maintaining our self-control when we're getting in our own way, when we're involved in a conflict, and perhaps maybe being targeted by somebody, is critical to our own success and time well spent. Now, in this ongoing series, which is called The Leading Chaos Story, I have been reading from my book, and I am still in chapter 3 somewhere. And of course, I'm not reading it word for word. I'm giving you a bit more detail and background and kind of pulling the layers out. You, of course, could get a copy of this book, and it's available on Amazon, and that's hard copy and an ebook form too. And the title of the book is called Leading Chaos, an Essential Guide to Conflict Management. I'm going to share with you a quote that I learned that really taught me about the value of self-control, and it's just became etched in my brain. So let me first read that quote and then give you a little bit of background from it. It goes, "If you're not in control of yourself, you are destined to be controlled by others." If you're not in control of yourself, you are destined to be controlled by others. So just if you reflect upon that for a moment, sure, if you're not in control of yourself, society is going to impose its own controls on you. It doesn't mean that you have to conform and be like lock, stock, and barrel and stepping in a certain step. Being in control of yourself is managing that road rage, having that anger management, thinking before acting, acting without reacting. And that's a key piece of what I teach in the response training program's curriculum, is to act versus react. To react, I define as responding with your emotions. Now, emotions are a beautiful thing in that it's what makes us as humans stand out and be who we are. It makes us have that empathy and sympathy and connection with others. And yet when, you know, the shoes are flying and people are upset and angry, emotions can really get in our way. And that's where self-control comes in, and that professional responsibility, if you're working in the field of crisis intervention, that professional responsibility to really act in response, which I define as responding without animosity. And animosity is vengeance and a need to get back, and to also remain calm and clear-headed. Those are amazing attributes. So again, if you're not in control of yourself, you are destined to be controlled by others. And that is Some of the times when you think about this, as I do, if you're working in a treatment facility, a mental health setting, or a correctional setting, or even a school setting, any kind of setting where there's can be a potential for violence, the folks who are having difficulty controlling themselves in terms of self-control do need some kind of parameters around them and help from others like you and I who step forward and do have that ability of self-control. But self-control does not come easily. It is something that we must learn. It is a skill that we must continually build upon. And there are steps to do that. Now, I want to go into those steps, and I have two steps for you, and they're really quite simple, and I've spoken about these steps before. Before I do that, I just have to mention the gentleman who really inspired me in my work and who I am dedicating this podcast episode to. And his name was Richard Gere. And Mr. Gere passed away just a year or so ago. And I happened to, you know, it's just synchronicity that I happened to look online because I've been trying to search for him for years, and I saw his obituary, and I got to speak to his wife, and he always really held his family in such high regard. And he was a correctional officer who became my instructor in crisis intervention, and he was one of the lead instructors of the Humane Defense course, which was a purely physical course and one of the first crisis intervention models that I was trained in. But Mr. Gere stood out in that he was so much more than physical. He was also my first introduction, real introduction to Aikido. He had studied Aikido while being a Marine, and he told the story of how he and his fellow Marines would be in a room and, you know, waiting there, sitting in what is called seiza, and that's a kneeling position. And this short Japanese man would walk in, not speak a word to them. He would do a technique and then walk out the room, and the Marines were left there needing to try to emulate what they just saw. Now, that story is very, very true to what you hear of the Marines who were trained by O-sensei, whose actual name is Morihei Ueshiba, and he was the founder of Aikido. So I'm not sure if it was actually O-sensei that Mr. Gere was being taught by, but I have a hunch that it was. And another little side, without me digressing too much, but I think this is so important to the story, is that Mr. Gere, along his ways, and I really considered him a mentor for me early on in my career, he would introduce me to some of his colleagues, other Marines who were kind of passing by and visiting him. And they were also pretentious. They didn't go around and say, oh, you know, I have a lot of bravado and look at me, I have this amazing skill as a martial artist. If you saw them on the street, you wouldn't guess that. What he did have, though, I have to admit, was impeccable, and I really mean impeccable posture, and also integrity. And that you felt like a mile away from the guy. So, Mr. Gere, this is for you. If you're not in control of yourself, you're destined to be controlled by others. Now, what I just did with my breath and that moment, which I call a pause, are the first steps to garnering your own self-control. In the response crisis intervention model, I equate self-control with personal safety. The two come together and create the first steps to an actual protocol to follow whenever you're engaging in a conflict. And it begins simply. You walk into any given situation, and the first thing you ask, am I safe? And what you physically do to garner your self-control is that you pause and exhale. Let's talk about that, those two steps, the pause and the exhale. If you're reading along with me, I am on chapter 45 of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And at the top of the page, you'll see the pause and a paragraph or two about on that, and then the exhale. And before that, you're going to see a little graph which has the goal-oriented intervention, which is defining the response protocol. And the pause and the exhale are the first key elements of that. And it's just such an amazing tool that I've been using to harness my own self-control when I'm having difficulty. And sure, I have difficulty all the time. I mean, I'm human, and to be human is imperfection at its best. So the pause. The pause is an actual stop moment. And I do have a previous episode, and that is episode 4, the fourth episode when I started this podcast in the fall of 2014. So if you want to hear that episode, just go to episode 4. It's called The Standing Pause. And you do this as an actual pause, and you could practice this. A pause is very powerful because it stops that moment from rushing into something. It stops your thoughts, and it allows you to collect your inner reserves before moving forward. It allows you to act versus react. So, so key. And it could take from 1 to 5 seconds. Now, a 1 to 5 second time can feel like an eternity when there's something going on. Like there could be a fist fight going on. You're thinking you have to run in there. But I will tell you, no emergency response team ever teaches to go running in willy-nilly. I've talked about this in previous episodes. You do not want to be winging it. The fire departments don't wing it. Police departments shouldn't be winging it. Paramedics, you definitely don't want them winging it when they're working on you. You want every emergency team to be thinking and acting in a very clear and concise way with a very clear and concise protocol. And it begins with a pause. For instance, as an EMT, when I'd come onto a scene and say I saw a burning car up ahead and I knew there were people in there, I'd get out of my car, but I would stop myself. That was part of my training, to stop and observe, to make sure that I did not risk my own safety to help others. Now, that is not a selfish act, because if I become injured in that process, how am I going to help others? I can't help someone else gain control if I'm not in control. And that is what self-control is all about, is starting with myself and ensuring that I have the skill to help others. So we begin with that pause. And this is so hard to do. And yet, it is a really noble, noble task. Now, you could practice this, and I'm going to recommend that you do. So here is a little practice piece for you to just see how powerful it is. You've experienced it already. If you recall when you were in school, grade school, or even high school, when the teacher kind of stops in the room at the door and everybody kind of looks like, uh-oh, something's going on. Well, you could do this if you're a parent or even if you're with friends. Oftentimes, there's a certain kind of flow as we engage with people. But if you change that up a little bit, you could really be that person who stands out. And let me tell you, when you're going in and acting as a first responder, as an intervener, as a person who is leading chaos, you need to stand out and project leadership. And that's by really embracing your pause. So practice this next time. Let's say you're going to a family gathering or something, or you're going to your friend's house. You step into the room, into the threshold of the front door, and just stop for a second and don't say a word and just look around. That moment of time when everyone stops and notices, that is the open window. And that is what a person like myself who does crisis intervention training or any first responder professional can use. But you don't have to be working the capacity of a professional responder to perfect this skill for your own personal use. It is a powerful tool. One, in that it helps you regain your self-control and build upon it, ensuring that you are indeed safe. It gives you that moment of time, which is critical. And it is projecting self-control to others. So self-control has a duality in that it is modeling for others the state of well-being, that point in time that everybody can use as a touchstone for themselves. Very powerful. So please try that technique. And remember, 1 to 5 seconds. When I did that pause earlier on, if you timed it, that seemed like an eternity over the span in terms of like a radio time, podcast time. But in timing it, it's about 4 seconds, almost 5 seconds where I paused. And exhaled. That provides you with so much clarity. And it's a great little tool to put in your tool belt and to really perfect for yourself. On page 42, there's an episode, a scenario, because I have a lot of scenarios in the book, and it's called Mr. Smith Forsakes Personal Safety. And this was an episode that was based off of a real experience where there was a teacher at a high school, and he got into a lot of trouble because he went running into a bathroom, boys' bathroom, and he heard some arguing in there and just went in to kind of intervene. And what happened is he didn't realize that there was a drug deal going down, and he ended up getting, boy, sucker punch and injured. It was not great. Now, had he integrated a little bit of these tools and taken the pause into hand, everything could have changed. He could have come up to the door, listened, taken that pause, thought about it, and not forsaken his own personal safety. Because when you go rushing in and get knocked out, you're not going to be able to help anybody, certainly not yourself. And remember, if you're not in control of yourself, you are destined to be controlled by others. So I put that little vignette in there as a reminder and as a learning tool for readers to know that taking a little bit of time, it's an okay thing. In fact, I really believe in slowing down time, and I'm going to hold that for another episode, but how we as interveners, the factor of time and how it plays into any conflict. But before we end this podcast episode, I want to talk about that second technique, and I'm going to just touch upon it on this episode, and I want to talk more about it next week. But is the exhale. Please know that there is a previous episode. It's the second episode that I ever aired, and it was called The Number One Leading Chaos Technique We All Do Daily, and that is to exhale. Now, the exhale follows after the pause, and it's very powerful. Obviously, to exhale, I need to inhale, but what I'm focusing on is the thought of exhale, that breathing out, the try it with me. Let's all breathe in. Very good. Hold it, hold it, hold it. And now breathe out. And now breathe normally, just normal respirations. See, what happens there is once I exhale, I have to inhale again. And what I see that is it's kick-starting my respiratory system. I mean, I've used that phrase for years. It's in the response curriculum to kick-start your respiratory system. Because what happens in that initial step when we're engaging in conflict management, when we're leading chaos, and we want to really enable our self-control to be at its optimized level, is we really have to be breathing at a normal rate of respiration. And the exhale begins that. So you have two homework pieces that I'm going to give for you for this week. One is to practice that pause going into the next time you go into a group gathering. I can't wait to do this with some of my friends, and I could talk about how that worked with me next week. But to do that standing pause right inside the room, and just notice if people are noticing you. Because when you're at that stop motion, you could, when they notice you, what are you going to do? Well, what I like to do is to smile back. That shows connection. And doing conflict management when leading chaos, you want to connect with people. You don't want to disconnect. So it provides connection. I smile. I nod. I say, you know, I'm here. It's me. It's Rhea. Or how are you doing? I nod my head. I smile. I do a lot of body language. And then I do that exhale. That's also role modeling to others, because not only does exhale work for you, you are also bringing those who are in need, whether it's your lover, it's your friend, it's your child, it's a person that you're charged in taking care of their well-being, you are role modeling to them that state of well-being and showing them physical components of your body that they can mirror. And that is what it's about. Self-control excellence is not just for you. See, that's a bonus. It's not just for you. It's for everyone. It's what you bring to the dinner to share for others and to set that foundation for all. And that is leading chaos. An ideal state of well-being for all, not just one person, not just for one segment, but for everybody to use that as a base and foundation. So we pause. Exhale, we clear our mind, and we ask ourselves, am I safe? If you're not safe, the goal is very simple within the response protocol. The goal is make yourself safe. If you are not safe, it's difficult to provide safety for others. And that is a key to this work of leading chaos for all. Let's bring it out of here. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. You know what I mean when I say be kind and be safe and make sure that you're working to garner your self-control for you and for all. Ciao for now, my friends.